Hello guys, hope y'all had a good weekend. The weekends, they tend to just go by so fast. It's like it was Friday and then next thing it is Monday. It's like a blink, huh? The topic that I want to talk about or speak on about today is salvation. I'm walking around and I speak to people and ask them, how do you define salvation? Yep, you're saying you're a Christian. I get that. So, how do you define salvation? And it's sad that many will stumble and they won't be able, they can't tell you what salvation is. And this is a problem. How can you be saved if you can't define or you don't understand what it means to be saved? So today I just want to talk about salvation. When we go to the book of Genesis and we look at Genesis and what Adam and Eve, what they did in the garden, right? That sets the stage. For salvation. But before I go into that, just bow with me, a moment of prayer with me. Heavenly Father, as we come to you, Jesus, and breathe in and breathe out today, Lord. Guide and direct our steps, the path that you would have us to take, Lord. I pray, Lord, that this message that you lay on my heart to speak to whoever is out there to hear it, that they receive it, that they, if they have questions about what it means to be a Christian, what is salvation, Lord, I pray, Lord, that this message that I'm about to share that you've laid on my heart will open their eyes and help them define salvation. Because that's a fundamental concept. If you're claiming to be a Christian, that you should be able to define and to say, I'm saved and this is why I'm saved. We pray all this in your holy and beautiful name, Jesus Christ. As I was saying, in the count, the Genesis account, Genesis 3 to, and we could see that, Adam and Eve, they were living in a perfect environment, a perfect place. Their needs were completely met. I mean, it blows my mind how, and we can only imagine, right? They had everything and they had no pain. They had no suffering. I know here in Louisiana you have the humidity. It gets hot, but they didn't have that. It was a breeze. It was just right. But you see, Satan was cast down from heaven. And he was watching Adam and Eve, and he felt Eve, maybe she was having a moment. And he seen an opportunity to strike. And we're told in Genesis that he enters a serpent, and a serpent comes to Eve, and he comes at her, and he attacks one thing, the only rule that God gave them to do, and that was not to eat of a specific tree, because this tree, he said, you would surely die if you ate of this tree. And the serpent attacked the word of God by deceiving Eve to eat of this tree. And then she deceived Adam to eat of the tree. And this is how we get the fall. The fall of man. That is when the curse of this earth that we're living in today came upon us. That's why we back hurts, feet hurt. You get up, the older I get, the more it's a challenge to get out of bed. And everything crackles. Snack, crackle, pop. It's like Rice Krispies, right? And but they didn't have all that. And you may have a headache when you wake up, you know, or a headache through the day. Just physically exhausted. You see, the world became broken. And today, if you look around, you can see the brokenness that's surrounding us. You can see the broken relationships, the broken systems. You don't have to go too far to see. Marriages are broken. You have a 50-50 chance of staying together. That's even among Christians. When you look at systems, you look at the education system, it is broken. The social security system is broken. The health system is broken. You can see many people starving, children starving. Even in the United States, it's an alarming rate of the homeless that's in our streets. It's heartbreaking to see. But this is what Adam and Eve brought on us. This brokenness that surrounds us, it engulfs us like a dark cloud. But the counterpart of this brokenness, you can also see beauty around us. I know I like to do a lot of hiking and climbing mountains, and you climb these mountains and you get up there and it's just beautiful, right? And or you may like, you know, go on a road trip and go to the Grand Canyon, or these are beautiful sights. There's a beauty. You see, the Bible tells us that God originally planned a world that was perfect, and every piece and everything worked together in a unity and a harmony. You know, Genesis 1:31 tells us God saw all that he made, and it was very good. Psalms 19:1 tells the heaven declares the glory of God, and the sky proclaims the works of his hands. These are leftovers. Even when we look, there's medical scientists that look at the human body and the genome, the DNA, and this is, we at one point there was something that went wrong. We were designed to live forever, but something went wrong, and that is the fall of man. So we recognize we're living in a fallen state, that we can't do it on our own. One of the most quoted scriptures out there that most people will know is John 3:16-17. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believed in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. See, God sent his Son because of the brokenness, what Adam and Eve did. That's when we see the suffering, the poverty, the hunger, the pain that we suffer. God sent his Son, Jesus Christ, to start correcting the things that we did wrong. And Jesus lived among us. You know, one of the attacks is that this world tries to come at and say that Jesus wasn't here, walking, living among us. I'll tell you, there's plenty documents out there that proves them wrong, more than what they can. Jesus was, he walked among us. His ministry was throughout. He healed and he touched many lives. And all the way up to his death, which is to the death that he did not deserve. We deserve that death. The scourging, the crucifixion. I want to tell you, brothers and sisters, the scourging, if you look up the word scourging and what they did, it tightens your stomach. It makes you sick. It was a whoop that was made that had leather straps on it, and there was bones on it and shards of glass, and when they thrashed out on that person, the back or the belly or whatever, it ripped flesh. Many people were imbowed, meaning their intestines ripped out of their belly and on the ground. This is what they did to our Jesus. A man that was not guilty of anything. We are guilty. We're the villain of the story. We are the murderers of Jesus. And when they took him up to carry his own cross up to Calvary, and they crucified him, the Roman soldiers were experts at crucifixion. They used spikes about 3 to 4 inches long, about railroad spikes, and they put one in his hand and the other hand, and then put his feet together, and they drill another one into his feet, and they lift him up on the cross. And the cross, the one of the descriptions, when you're on the cross and when he was on the cross, or when they're, they say it's like drowning, it's like suffocation. So he was up there trying to get air, and every time he would pull himself up, the pain of the nails, I mean, it just tears my heart up. Think about it. He did that for you and me. He did it for our sin, the what we call the original sin. That's the fall, the curse, the original sin. We are condemned when we're born. And it's only through the blood that was shed on Calvary that we can come to Jesus and lay everything out there for him and say, hey, he already knows, but he wants to hear and say, hey, Jesus, here I am. I'm nothing. I lay my life at your feet. And I give you everything. I surrender everything to you. Come rescue me. Come rescue me, Jesus. And when we do this, when we come to him and we say, here I am, Jesus, and we open our heart truly to him, and we open our mind and our whole being to him, and we give him everything that we have, that is everything. I'm going to tell you, brothers and sisters, many people professing Christianity, they get to that point and they do a lip service and they don't give everything to Christ. I'm telling you, you ain't fooling him. You can fool me, you can fool whoever, but you're not fooling Christ. He knows when you surrender yourself to him. When we do that, he comes into our hearts. He comes into our lives. We become a child of God. And when we become a child of God, we are different. We are changed. We are a heart. Our old nature is no more. I'm telling you, if you still have your old nature, you have not truly accepted Christ into your heart, because the Bible tells us, all old things are past and new has come to you. You are a new creature. You are on fire for God. You are out there. You're saying, I am a child of God. Why? Because I can tell you salvation. I can tell you what salvation is. I can tell you I was out there running the streets. I was doing whatever. But then I stopped. It could be addiction, it could be suicide, it could be depression, it could be, there's so much pain in this life, it could be a number of things. Once you give everything to him, you become a disciple, everything is different. Your perspective on life is different. Your outlook, it's not about you anymore. It's about Jesus. All the old things that brought you joy is not, they don't bring you joy anymore. It's only the stuff through Jesus that brings you joy, brings you fulfillment. You want to go to church. You want to study the Bible. You want to say, Lord, give me another person out there to witness, to tell them about the good news that is salvation, about you sending your son to die for our sins. Brothers and sisters, that's salvation. Giving yourself to Christ and then getting out there on fire for God and giving your life to Him, being the hands and feet every day. If you're not the hands and feet every day, there's issues going on in your life. Somebody lied to you. And I don't say that to be mean. I'm just trying to tell you. Truly, truly, truly give your life to Christ. Surrender everything to Him. Say, Jesus, here I am. As you guys would bow with me. Heavenly Father, as we come to you, Lord, just thanking you for the message that you lay on my heart to give, Lord. I pray whoever's out there hearing it, Lord, that they open their hearts to you truly. They seek you with everything they got. Hallelujah. Put a fire in their soul and their bones to be that light on a hill to shine so bright that this world can see. The darkness will flee. Raise up a generation that is strong and powerful for Jesus, that will pronounce on the mountaintop the message of salvation, the good news, Lord. Thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ, for dying on the cross and for a wretched sinner, for me, for the world. We pray all this in your holy and beautiful name, Jesus Christ. Amen.